Good morning and welcome to our worship today. Our service today focuses on the fact that troubles and problems do come into our lives that God allows. And when they do happen, God wants us to look even at those things as gifts that should be used for our good. May God bless our time in His Word today. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. God invites us to come into His presence and worship Him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask Him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this, I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, and He has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We bow our heads in prayer. God of all power and might, you are the giver of all that is good. Help us love you with our whole heart. Strengthen us in true faith. Provide us with all that we need, and keep us safe in your care. We ask this in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first lesson today is from the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 2. We'll read the first 5 verses. As we hear these words, God has sent Ezekiel into a very hostile environment to preach God's word. But the Lord would use this to build up Ezekiel's character as a prophet of God's word. We hear these words from chapter 2. Ezekiel says, "He said to me, 'Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you.' As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said, 'Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate, they're stubborn. Say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious people, they will know that a prophet has been among them." This is God's word. We also hear a reading from the Gospels, the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 6. We'll read the first 6 verses. As we hear these words, we are reminded that Jesus didn't water down his word in order to be popular. Jesus endured troubles in his ministry while preaching and holding up the truth. We read, "Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. 'Where did this man get these things?' they asked. 'What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?' And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them.' Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith." These are the words of the gospel. We now then turn to our message for today. Our message will come from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the epistle lesson appointed for the seventh week of Pentecost. It'll be verses 7 through 10. But before I read it, I think if you are living anywhere and listening to this, living anywhere in the state of Arizona, you know that the Phoenix Suns are playing for the World Championship of Basketball. And if you lived in the valley that is south of the Verde Valley, where we live, you would be a part of the excitement in a far greater way than it's up here. Every couple of 100 feet or so, you'll see a billboard saying, "Go Suns!" Fans not only fill the arena, but the streets, the establishments, up and down the valley. Everyone is happy, as well they should be. But that happiness will, well, it'll come to an end for some. And it will not be because the team has lost the championship. Nope. Win or lose, some of the players and the coaches will want to cash in on their sudden and perhaps short-lived fame and glory. And as a result, they might be leaving the team. It happens all the time. Some will want a whole lot more money because of their great season, the fantastic season that they've had. And they will make no bones about it. If he had wanted to, the Apostle Paul could have cashed in on his celebrity status as an apostle, especially in the Greek culture. Paul was one of the most well-known people of his day, and he had a remarkable way with words. Add to that the miracles he performed and driving out evil spirits out of people as described in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul could have made a mint. Surprisingly, however, Paul was sharply criticized by his enemies for his humility, and they viciously attacked his apostleship. The lesson that I'm about to read is a part of Paul's lengthy defense against those who attacked him. To refute their claims that he truly was not God's apostle, the Apostle Paul boasts. He boasts about all of his accomplishments, including the vision of heaven that he had. A few verses before our lesson, Paul told the Corinthians that God had given him a vision of heaven that was so beautiful that he couldn't even put it in human words. But Paul's boasting was completely the opposite of what people normally boast about. Paul boasted, oddly enough, about his weaknesses, about his troubles, his hardships, because, as he will tell us, it was through his weaknesses that he found the greatest strength, namely God's grace. And my friends, that is true for us as well. And that is why today our focus is on God's grace. Paul says, as I pray we say, "When I am weak, then I am strong." We hear the words then from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Paul writes, "Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away. But the Lord said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" Paul then goes on, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul begins with the words, "In order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me." Until the end of time, people will debate about what this thorn was. There are all sorts of suggestions, and they are only that, suggestions. Epilepsy, migraine headaches, malaria, speech impediment, cataracts, and the list can go on. Paul says it tormented him. But while we don't know the what, we certainly do know the why. Listen, Paul says to keep me from becoming conceited. In the original language, this is repeated for emphasis. God used this thorn in the flesh to accomplish something good, namely to keep Paul humble. Three times, Paul says, I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from him. At first, Paul then realized that it was from the Lord. This appeal that Paul gives to the Lord recognizes that he was quite confused about this thorn in the flesh. He thought that the problem was hindering his ministry. He viewed it as a messenger of Satan. He couldn't understand why God was allowing this to happen to him because he was doing the Lord's work. He felt he could be so much more effective. He could do so much more if he didn't have this problem. He prayed hard. He prayed often. And God answered. God answered that prayer. Not by removing the thorn, but by giving Paul the strength to handle. And so now when Paul is writing these words of the epistle, he now understands. He says in verse 9, the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. The Lord gave Paul the strength to preach the gospel, and once Paul realized this, everything was okay. And that's why we read in verse 10, he says, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul realized that this thorn was a gift from God, and Paul rejoiced in it. We have to say that Paul was tremendously blessed from the Lord. His work had met with tremendous success. And Paul could have easily been tempted to think that the successes that he was having in mission work were of his own making. His style, his preaching, whatever it might have been. And now when Paul realized that his weaknesses were not anything at all that was helping the ministry, rather it was all of God's power and grace in his ministry that was so effective. And that's what illustrates God's amazing grace. When I'm weak, Paul says, then I am strong. Dear Christians, just as he did with Paul, so also God does with us. And that is, he uses our weaknesses. And one of those ways that he uses our weaknesses to help us is to destroy our illusions. At times, we are under the illusion that our purpose in life is to be successful in whatever area, whatever way. And then something comes along that does not fit with our agenda. And that something could be a wide range of things that happen to us in our lives. And we wonder where to turn. My friends, it is the Lord turning us. And he's turning us to him. Sometimes the Lord has a way of just stripping away those things that are so foremost on our agenda. And all that is left is a faith and a trust in our Lord. When I am weak, then I am strong. God at times may also use our weaknesses to remind us what true happiness is. And that can be a very hard lesson to learn. Can it ever be good not to be happy? Well, the answer to that question depends on where are we looking at to be happy. If we find ourselves thinking that happiness is only found in money, job, even family, in enjoyment of life, well, then we're in trouble. True happiness can come only through a lasting friendship with Jesus. And God uses problems at times to teach us that true happiness is dependent on God's presence in our lives. When I am weak, then I'm strong. Do you agree with this statement or disagree? It's a statement that we hear from time to time from well-meaning friends. It is this: the Lord will never give you more than you can handle. Some news comes into your life, rocks your world. You have no plan of what to do, how you will cope, what will happen. And then some well-intentioned friend hits you with, well, the Lord will never give you more than you can handle. Well, I don't know if the Apostle Paul would really say that. Let me read to you the verses recorded for us in this letter, chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. There the Apostle Paul says, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us again. Sometimes the Lord does give us more than we can handle, and He does to make us realize how weak we are. Weakness makes us desperate, and it's when we're at our weakest that we then call on our greatest strength. It's when we are overwhelmed that we give up and let God be God. It's when we are overwhelmed that these words of our text never mean more to us. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus, doesn't put us under His thumb and have us obey Him like a frightened puppy. He gives and allows pain to lovingly and gently bring us closer to Him. He gives and allows pain so that we can empathize with others. He does give and allow pain so we can focus on the cross. The cross reduces our thorns and puts our problems in perspective. How? By making them smaller, knowing that they are temporary. That is why Paul could say, I delight in weaknesses, for when I am weak, then I am strong. We all experience weaknesses, which are troubles, problems, a broken agenda. We experience them in our lives, whatever form they come in. My friends, thank God that when I'm weak, then I'm strong. God is with us. He showers us with His grace. He says to us, as He said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us join together, if you will, to say the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, You have brought us safely to this new day. Defend us with Your mighty power and grant that this day we neither fall into sin nor run into any kind of danger. And in all we do, direct us to what is right in Your sight. We ask this in the name of our Savior Jesus, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. God bless you. God bless your day.